AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday, January 3rd, 2019. Hi, how are you guys? Matt, Eric here today.
Hey.
Eric, did you have a nice Christmas holiday over the New Year's holiday as well?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Really enjoyable.
It sure sounds like it. You know, you don't elaborate so much next time, okay? A lot of family and friends in town?
Yeah. I mean, they live here, so I see them on a regular basis.
Okay. I know we're a little rusty. We've been off for a few days here, okay? We have to talk. This is a radio station. The medium is our voices. So that's nice. That's nice to hear.
I mean, the less I say about my family, you know, the more positive I can keep it.
All right. Let's spill all the beans. Well, okay. I'll tell you what. I'll divert from this painful subject for you. I'll get to my C-SPAN appearance. I'll also get to Iowa guy who I ran into at a holiday party over the vacation since I was here last Friday. We did a show on Friday, but been gone since then. But I want to start off with, are you ready for O Canada? Because if they're going to take Northwest angle, they're taking the whole damn state. You can't break us apart. Canada, take the whole thing. You can't leave us behind. If you did not see the story, Canada now wants Northwest Angle back. Now, have you ever been up to
the Lake of the Woods area?
Yeah, well, that little spit of land that we have. It's a good chunk of land, actually. I've been up there a few times. It's gorgeous. Some of the best fishing, just amazing fishing. Lake of the Woods is just an amazing lake to fish. But it is, it's this quirk. What had happened is they trusted some like 1770s map when they were drawing the line. So they did the parallel. And to let you know, there's also some cutoff land in Washington State because no one apparently understood any damn thing when they did this. So it went over, and because the Mississippi River wasn't where they thought it was going to be, boom, all of a sudden that little nugget of land that's Northwest Angle became part of the United States, and the rest of the state was there. And as a matter of fact, it's actually been a pretty decent bone of contention for the Canadians because Canada actually said that their claim was Duluth and North. So imagine drawing a line at Duluth across the country, and think about the Iron Range.
Yeah.
That would have been a little bit of a loss for us, so this little spit of land that we have in Northwest Angle is there. The Canadians have formed a petition, apparently haven't talked to the people at Northwest Angle about it, because most of the people in Northwest Angle want to stay in the United States.
Yeah, I imagine the paperwork involved is not fun.
I mean, you also have a little bit of a price tag on this. I mean, I don't think you can just... it's not for sale. I mean, it's not for sale. It's the Woody doll at the garage sale. It's not for sale. You can't sell it, and you can't steal it. The Canadians want this back. They've started a petition. I don't know who. I've been to the Canadian side around that area. There's not many people up there. Winnipeg's lovely. I love Winnipeg. Thunder Bay's not a bad town either. Tim Hortons, good stuff over there. But you know, you got this kind of gap in between the two of them of you know, more fish. You know, I think it's like 1,000 more fish per human. You know, on any given place.
It's empty up there.
Oh, it is. It's pretty desolate. But they want this back, and I'll give credit to the joke. I can't remember who the guy was, but this was not my joke. He said, "Well, you cannot just take part of Minnesota; you have to take the whole damn thing." So Canada, we're there. Good joke. I'm very proud. U.S. Army, go USA. We're staying in here. The other end of life story for us. We're it's all over for us because Minneapolis is getting its own Major League Quidditch team now. You may say to yourself, Quidditch, what the hell is that? Well, that means you are over the age of, I'm going to guess, 50, 55, and you do not have kids. If you are under the age of 55, the first thing you say is, hey, isn't that the game they played on brooms flying around in the Harry Potter series? You are correct. Have I missed some major innovation in technology that means our brooms are flying around now? No, you haven't. This is losers. No, I got okay. Minneapolis is getting its own Major League Quidditch team from City Pages. It means it'll be eligible to compete in the best of the best, or at least the other teams in the league's North Division. The Cleveland Riff, the Detroit Innovators, Indianapolis Intensity, and the new Toronto franchise. You have to see this. It has to do with throwing balls through hoops and people beating each other with a stick and one speedy fella going after what's the thing?
Snitch.
Snitch, thank you. Yeah. Oh, like you didn't know. What? Snitch? I think that's what it's called. Don't look at the t-shirt I'm wearing under the sweater. No, it's the snitch. Thank you very much, you know, Voldemort. you zip around and find this. And the games are, how many points do you get for catching the snitch?
I just know the snitch makes the rest of the game irrelevant.
It's over. If you catch the snitch, the game's over.
But the snitch is worth like 1,000 points.
No,
the
it's 100. It's like 150 or something like that. It's not a million or anything. You can lose this even with the snitch. It wasn't that Goblet of Fire. They went to the Quidditch World Championship, and yeah, I'm about to get my nerd cred here.
I don't remember. The last one I read was the fourth one, whatever that one was.
It was Goblet of Fire. At the beginning of that one, they go to the Quidditch World Championship, and the one team dominates the other team so bad that even if they caught the snitch, it wasn't going to be enough to catch up. So. It was the Ron's favorite team. It was Ron Weasley's favorite team. So yeah, there you go. Nerd. Quidditch is a game played high in the air with wizards and witches soaring on broomsticks and enchanted game balls whizzing past them. If you've seen a single Quidditch match in real life, or even bother to imagine one, you know they're a different kind of game. It's mostly players running around in a field with broomsticks between their legs, trying to get a volleyball through enemy goalposts while the opponents pelt them with dodgeballs. The most distance difference, however, is the golden snitch. In the books and movies, it's a whiplash quick winged ball the size of a walnut that a witch or wizard must try to catch to earn 150 points. It's 150. Come on, Eric. In real life, the snitch is a human being wearing a tennis ball attached to his waistband of their shorts.
Almost as good.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the movie. If you want to catch the snitch, which, by the way, will get you 10 to 20 in certain towns, you've got to grab that ball. Luke Zach has been playing Quidditch for nearly a decade. Gonna guess doesn't have a lot of friends, just gonna presume that's gonna go out on a ledge outside of his Quidditch team. He's pretty used to questions on whether or not his sport of choice is just dorky fad. He started at the University of Minnesota's Quidditch team in 2010, and since then he's always had it between 100 and 200 players on the roster. Wow, really?
Yeah, what consists of the roster?
100 to 200 players at a school of 55,000 students in a metro area of 3.6 million. You got 100 to 200.
Yeah,
that's a light day for any of the cricket matches that we have around town. But now we've got a major league franchise. Where are you playing this at? The new Allianz Field, the United Field?
I have no idea. Public parks.
Can I put together a team of like the Vikings and we can go out there and we'll see how you do with them throwing dodgeballs at you? Give me the relief pitchers of the Minnesota Twins. They're going to be my Quidditch team. I think I'll take some, we'll win some games with that. Okay. First of all, most real dorky guys, and I can say this because I was Doctor Who through most of my youth. Okay. I've been there. I think it's fantastic that you're taking your pasty white skin out to the sunshine every once in a while. That's a good thing. Go team, go. But that being said, what? Oh, I guess maybe you're not. The fact that you're not playing them on scooters or on the what are the two wheel things that balance on?
I think they're called hoverboards.
No, not hover.
But you got mad at me for saying that earlier.
Hoverboards? That's Marty McFly. Get your film franchises separated, Marty. Segways. It would be you're at least on something that's moving independently of you. Mm-hmm. If you did it on segways. But yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly the 952-946-6205. What do you know? I remember the phone number. Okay. We've got a few things to get to. I will say as well, I want to take a few moments here if you missed me on C-SPAN, that's right, on C-SPAN, on New Year's Day morning, I was on C-SPAN. I don't have any delusions of grandeur. It's not exactly prime time. 8:20 in the morning on New Year's Day. I'm not exactly the guest du jour. But they wanted to do this thing where they went around and they talked to radio hosts across the country. I get it. By the way, I don't need anyone else telling me the lighting in my basement sucks for TV. I know that. Gotcha. I was going to just go with a Rush t-shirt. My wife basically stopped me and told me I had to do a button up with a sweater. I looked pretty respectable. But it was interesting. I got to talk to them about a few different things. And I was asked about, now I got to tell you the truth, what he told me we were going to do and what we ended up talking about were two different things. I don't mind. I thought it was a decent discussion that we had. But, you know, the two of the things that I felt, he asked me about Klobuchar. And I don't know. Amy Klobuchar is the only person that can tell you if she's going to run for president. I mean, she's the only person that can tell you if she's going to run for president. But that being said, I don't know if she wants to. She's at that point that if the Democrats take back the Senate in 2020, she'll have her committee. She'll have one of the committees. She'll be the chair. And, I mean, those Senate committees are pretty darn powerful. And so, she's at that junction in her career, and this is numerous senators have always had this. Do you abandon the Senate and start looking at the White House, or do you stay in the Senate and become a lifer there? Because there's a lot of great senators who have spent their careers, full careers in the Senate and stayed there, and that's what they wanted to do. Personally, I get the impression that Amy Klobuchar wants to stay in the Senate. I'm not saying that I wouldn't vote for her. Of course I'd vote for her. If she was running for president, of course she would have my vote. Absolutely, 100%. I mean, I disagree with her on a few issues. I'm not a blind loyalist, and I'll get to blind loyalty when I come back after the break here in just a little bit. But, you know, blind loyalty, you know, that's a Republican thing. I do have some problems with Amy Klobuchar, especially that mining issue up in northern Minnesota, and also her trying to get rid of a minimal tax on medical devices when that simple little tax was paying for everyone in the country to have health care, for goodness sakes. I thought those two things kind of annoyed me. But at the same time, she's been a pretty exceptional senator. She's wildly popular. She's incredibly popular as a Democrat within Republican circles. I mean, it's just delightful to see Neuberger throw a temper tantrum because they called that race 2 minutes after the polls closed. But, I mean, he had no chance. He had no choice. He had no chance whatsoever at all in winning that. Because Amy Klobuchar is just that good, and she's that well-liked. But do I think that she'll run? I don't know. Like I said, you know, she's at that point now where, and she's not getting the secondary committees. She's going to get if the Senate goes back to the Democrats in 2020, she will have a prime committee, and that's got some real power to it. And you can make some real change with that. The other thing that he asked about is, what issue in Minnesota would play out on the national stage? And I said the Iron Range mining. And the reason why is, I mean, I think this is something that we're seeing. Whether or not we value the land that certain elements, whether that's oil or metals or gems, are under. And we should. I mean, we should. We don't have a lot of great pristine land left that people are willing to drive 12 hours across the country to go and see. And the Boundary Waters Canoe Area and Voyageurs National Park, these are pristine wildernesses that you just will not be able to replace. And when you look at this type of mining and that it basically leaves behind a toxic sludge that will destroy everything for 500 years, I think that that is way too high of a price to pay for this. But that's the element right now, is it's just, as long as they don't have a cabin there, as long as their house is not there, as long as it's not within the realm of any major Republican donor, the Republicans don't care. They will rip apart northern Minnesota and sell it off to the highest international bidder. That is going to be the big fight. And if we just lay back and trust mining companies who have never done this mining environmentally safe, and have never cleaned up their mess, and thanks to Minnesota Republicans, now have the oopsie law, so they don't have to clean up their mess. All they have to do is scream, oopsie, and then they basically are, you know, they don't have to pay a dime. Taxpayers are on the hook for it. Thanks to the Republican Party of Minnesota, you jackasses. If that's what they praise and they worship money on the Republican side. And so they look at that land and they say, I don't care about lakes and I don't care about trees and I don't care about wilderness. I just care about what's underneath it and how much money it can make for the people that are going to write me a campaign check or give me that lobbying job after I get done. That is a major, major fight. And I'm not ready to quit on that one. And thank God we got Tim Walz in there. I'm glad we've got Melissa Hortman in the house now in Minnesota. I think we're going to... Let's get these water quality standards reinforced and let's make, you know, God forbid we actually make this little caveat with this mine. You want a mine? Fine. Then everything is cleaned up when you're done. And if it's not you, it's your international parent company that's on the hook, period. And my guess will be is no one will want to mine it because as long as they have to clean it up, they don't want any part of it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to talk about Iowa guy when I come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me this Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview Jackie Flaherty, the original publisher of Natural Awakenings, as she shares her journey in bringing the magazine to life. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
The progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. So I ran into Iowa guy. Now, I want to make sure I'm very clear here. I lived in Iowa twice in my radio career. I worked for KDAO in Eldora, Marshalltown, Iowa. I worked for KASI, KCCQ in Ames, Des Moines. And I really did enjoy it. It's a very enjoyable place to work and live. I was part of the Iowa State flagship for Iowa State Cyclone sports, which was a lot of fun. Got to do a lot of stuff in the Big 12. It was a good time, very enjoyable. And the But when you work in Iowa and you get down there, you run into an individual, a type of person, which is just, they have got such a chip on their shoulder to try to prove they are right and everyone else is wrong. It is just an obnoxious trait. And it goes from the minuscule to the major. And a great example, I always say this, is if we had like 3 inches of snow in Ames, I'd always get the call, "I don't know what you're talking about, but my snow gauge has got 3 feet of snow in it." You know, it's like, well, it only, you know, 3 inches. It's not, I don't know why God hates you so much, but you know, whatever. Same thing with rain that, and by the way, guys, just FYI, we got it back. There we go. But same thing with rain and stuff like that. I mean, no matter what we said, it was always, "Oh, you got 10 inches in my place, not a quarter." You know, whatever. And the guy, he couldn't help himself. I was talking about my experience down in Iowa when I worked down there. And, of course, down there, if you work for the Iowa State University, one of the things you'll notice really quick is the media in the state of Iowa is very pro-University of Iowa. And then it's usually Drake. And then it's Iowa State. And it really is. And at Iowa State, you know, unless every other Iowa team is pretty much out of it, then Iowa State gets noticed. But until that point, it basically is ignored. And so I mentioned, it's a University of Iowa, and I always remember Drake at Elizabeth. "Well, Drake, what are you talking about? No one paid attention to Drake." Okay, no, why don't you stop, all right? Because it took me about that long for this guy to like, "Okay, yeah, I remember you. I remember you from Iowa." I don't really, and so I was shocked. I was shocked when he, himself, I did not bring up politics. Trust me, I get out of this radio station, I generally don't talk too much politics. I try to avoid it because there are a lot of people that want to fight, and I don't want to fight. I talk politics. I like talking politics while I'm on the show and stuff, but it's not like every time I'm, you know, "Hi, honey, let me tell you about what happened with Nancy Pelosi today." You know, I'm not that type of person. So he brings it up, and he says, "You know what? I tell you what, us, our Iowa hogger farmers, the hoglots, they got killed with this trade deal." Oh. Now, I still, treading cautiously, the same thing happened with Minnesota soybean farmers. They're getting killed. The markets are just not there. The Chinese markets are not there. And he turns up, and he says, "But don't worry. When Trump gets drawn with these trade deals, we're going to double our markets." What are you talking about? Dude, the reason why... Now, and like I said, I mean, this guy was, you know, conservative through and through. Okay, I get it. You like Trump. But you yourself walked into this conversation and said, "Yeah, my hog markets have gotten wiped out. You're a hog farmer in Iowa. Your hog markets got wiped out. That wasn't anyone else but Trump, dude. That was no one else. That was just Trump." And you basically saying, "Oh, well, it's, you know, he's going to make things better." He's the one that made things worse. And right now, and the first thing I said is, of course, I'm not going to let, you think I'm going to let that go? I got a cup of eggnog and I'm wearing a Christmas sweater. I'm looking, it's like, oh, it's on now. And I just look at him and say, "Well, sir, you know, I'm just going to let you know it's not going to come back. I mean, right now, China is making deals with Argentina and Brazil. I mean, these are hard, hard, strong contracts about agri-production for China from those countries." "Oh, well, but it will come back to us eventually." No, it won't. That there's, you know, that these contracts are, you know, ironclad. They're not going to basically negate the contracts they just signed with Brazil and Argentina just so they can go back and buy. I mean, you know, you're lucky you're a hog farmer. At least I don't know of hog contracts being drawn up with other countries. But soybean contracts, corn contracts, they're being drawn up with other countries right now. And that means those markets are, that market's not going to come back. I said, maybe India. Maybe we can, if he starts developing the India, you know, trade connection a little bit better, we might be able to pull some more market in there. And he did that. That didn't stop him. Of course, he comes out to me and is like, NAFTA. It was NAFTA. Look what he did with NAFTA. He fixed the NAFTA completely. It's like, no, he didn't. First of all, the new NAFTA is basically the old NAFTA. There's some minor trademark changes, but the only change for agriculture in that entire new NAFTA deal is a slight, and I do mean slight, increase in market availability to specific dairy products. Not soybeans, not hogs, not hemp, not hops, none of that stuff. Just a very narrow niche of dairy products got a minor expansion into Canadian markets. That's it. In turn, we had to allow the Canadians to import a million new cars produced in Canada. We got screwed on that. And he did what I have determined, I've called the Iowa hog farmer Batman smoke bomb. Okay. He threw out something which was in left field. He says, do you know Brazil takes a lot of our ethanol? Boom! Smoke bomb. He hits the door. Swear to God. He just like, oh, wait, honey, we got to go. Bye. I'm like, what are you doing? Iowa hog farmer Batman smoke bomb. He could not, he realized he could not win this because God forbid someone with an, you know, knows what the hell's going on, it, you know, challenges him. But he himself brought this up and yet spent the rest of the time defending Trump and the policies, which have personally killed him. It's unbelievable. And now you have the story today. I saw this up in Raw Story today. A woman in Indiana, her kid, because of loosened EPA rules, got cancer. Now, their kid is recovering, thank God. They did discover it, but had to go through all the cancer treatment. Very expensive. But the kid's coming back, and now that the EPA is, you know, Trump's EPA is rescinding the Obama-era rules, which outlawed that coal byproduct, which gave all these kids cancer in Indiana, she's basically, oh, well, I still support Trump. How dumb are you people? Oh, that's right. You believe a wall will actually work. That's all right. All right. Mission accomplished. All right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, where are you? Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metz, inviting you to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states. In 4.5 years, we have featured musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Metzowocumentaries, Bob Dylan's first drummer, and more. Every weekend on AM 950, 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, sunny with a high near 37. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 26. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 40.
EatLocalMinnesota.com is your way to find unique local restaurants offering one-of-a-kind food and atmosphere. Your choice is setting, from casual to trendy. Great spots for date nights, evenings with friends, or business occasions. Make sure the money you spend stays local. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Indeed, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week is all of them. Once again, with the shortened holiday week here, do you really want to do any more cooking? And let me just sort of say, if you're like me, they'll have healthy options on the menu. If you've been eating like me, some healthy options are always kind of nice. You can go over to eatlocalminnesota.com, find a great local restaurant. Many of them locally sourced. You get a great meal, and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. I also did want to mention something over the holidays. We are, it looks like what we're going to try to do is get all the interviews we did, and we had so many great interviews, and I want to thank the folks over at the University of Minnesota Press, at Minnesota Historical Society Press. Those guys were great. They helped line up a lot of the authors that we talked to. Of course, Jeff Stein, Cliff Schechter, Peter Callahan from MinnPost are all part of those. I really appreciate them. We're actually going to have eventually here, not to right now, you won't find it right now, but eventually we'll have a playlist up on the SoundCloud page with all the holiday interviews. So if there's one you wanted to go listen to again, you're more than welcome to do that. We'll let you know. We'll get that posted to you when we get there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So the Democrats took charge. Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House again. Thank God. There is a level of relief that I got to tell you the truth. I am very ecstatic that this has happened. Can I just say how bad things have been under this Republican these 2 years? It's hard. You're hard pressed to find more incompetency by a single Congress in history. I mean, in this country's history. I mean, you have the Hoover Congress after the economic crash, which was completely incompetent. I mean, you had a few. Of course, obviously, the Congresses that led up to the Civil War were all incompetent beyond incompetent. They couldn't figure out, you know, couldn't get out of their own way. But what you've got here, their agenda was so far to the right that they couldn't get it passed, even though they had control of the House and the Senate. And it got close. I mean, we can't forget it got close. And there have been some major losses here. This is why I stayed up all night, the night of the election. And I stared at the ceiling saying, what the hell have these people have done? The judicial branch is going to be far right conservative for decades to come. The Supreme Court, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But the reality is that what we've got is we've got some level of oversight, which is a good thing. And you had Republicans who just could not get anything done, now leaving in shame from Washington, D.C. And that's good. Now, I should mention that the Republican Party clearly was a party that's against things, not for things. There are two types of politicians, and there are politicians. I'll give you a great example. Dean Phillips, who just took his congressman now. You know, he's officially a congressman. And when we had Dean Phillips on the air, he didn't talk about what he was against. He talked about what he was for. Ilhan Omar talked about what she was for. You know, the numerous Democrats. Tim Walz talked about what he was for. You know, you have a lot of politicians on the Republican side who are against Hillary Clinton and against Barack Obama's legacy and against those Democrats. And the reality is they're not offering what they're for. And when you put them into power, ta-da, there you go. They had nothing. And boy, talk about ending a political career on a whimper. Paul Ryan, you were the VP candidate in 2012, and right now, I don't think we could get you a managerial position at a freaking Arby's. Dear Lord, don't worry. No, I should be careful here. Paul Ryan's got his lobbying gig all set to go. I guarantee you he'll be making seven figures, to make, three calls a day. He'll be getting his he gets his paycheck for being a loyal, obedient lapdog for the corporate overlords that run the Republican Party. Don't worry, he'll be just fine. But gosh, I mean, his political career is over. It's absolutely fine. Here is one thing I want to take some time, and you're more than welcome to call 952-946-6205 and tell me what you think now that the Democrats are in charge.
I want to be very careful with expectation on what is going to happen. The more outraged people, and there's a lot of them in this country right now, are like, impeach Pence, impeach Trump, throw Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court, get rid of all these, put all these people into jail. Now, I'm not going to deny that there is a legit chance that Donald Trump could end up going to jail for crimes committed, like treason, working with a foreign government to undermine the pillars of democracy. Collusion, for sure. I mean, he's admitted collusion. You know, it's and you know, his whole family could go to jail. I mean, the Mueller investigation is going to, I think, be a very, very interesting reveal. But the reality is that you still are going to need Republicans in the Senate to vote to throw him out of office. And what we have seen over and over again, and what they're practicing the speech. They are practicing the speech right now. I don't condone what Donald Trump did, but this is sour grapes by the Democrats. And I'm not going to reward sour grapes regardless of how illegal Trump has been. That's the they're going to present. They are terrified of having Donald Trump have to resign in disgrace or be impeached and thrown out of office. They're terrified of that to a point where they will kill the party if they have to prevent another Nixon from happening, another Republican president resigning in shame or being thrown out of office. They're already, I think, conceding 2020. I think, I honestly do. I mean, have you noticed how many, over the holiday weekend, I noticed at least three stories of Republican billionaires who fund these Republican Party events who have all very publicly said, oh, I'm getting out of politics now. They've all said, we're not going to do it. You know, we're going to pull back. The Mercer family was one of them. Oh, we're not going to fund as much, you know, politics. They lost a ton of seats in 2018, but they've already determined that they're not going to run anything else out there. Also, the Koch brothers apparently are reorganizing their political wing onto where they want to go, because I think they've already realized that they are going to. That Donald Trump is either going to get thrown out of office or that the Republicans are going to have to fall on the largest sword ever to prevent him from doing so. And the question of whether or not that political party will survive remains to be seen. Don't get me wrong, Louis Gohmert will still be there. The racist bastard that is Steve King will still be there. Hey, Klan member, yeah, you, Steve King, I'm going to call you out. You're just a jackass. I'm not going to give you any respect because you're a racist pig. No, you're going to have a few of these guys in these custom-made seats. Tom Emmer will still be there because there's enough people up there that, like I said, I mean, you have to get Michelle Bachmann bad to almost be a Republican and lose the Minnesota 6th District, because there are so many people up there, you could put a R next to a turnip and they'll say, oh, give me the turnip! Turnip. Great to see a sign. All these congressmen are putting up their pictures of them with their nameplates on the offices over in Washington, D.C. Congressman Turnip. Let's see that one show up on there somewhere. No, they're deciding they're going to, you know, the sacrificing the party is the price they pay for not ever having to admit that Donald Trump was the greatest disaster this party ever made. For God's sakes, you just had it on display in 2018. Do you understand how badly they lost, considering how gerrymandered this country was, considering all the voter ID laws, considering they're actually at the point where they were going out and confiscating votes, because even with all their gerrymandered and all their voting rules, they still were getting their cabooses kicked. The only way they can, this is why you're hearing Republicans talk about going back to the days where only landowners can vote. It's because this is about the only way they can maintain power. And my gut feeling is that there will come enough evidence that Donald Trump will get impeached in the House. Now, I saw an interesting story as well today about House Republicans are hiring lawyers, constitutional lawyers. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of the impeachment process. I probably should. I guess I should. I'm not exactly sure about it, but I will say that I don't think that they can stop it if it goes through proper channels. And now that the Republicans are the minority party, they don't really have the votes to stop this sort of thing. And I mean, a Colin Peterson aside, who might vote with the Republicans to save Trump, I doubt it. I don't think Colin Peterson wants anything to do with Donald Trump at this point. But I get the impression that they can't stop it in the House. But I'm not quite sure what happens in the Senate. Mitch McConnell seems to be the failsafe. He seems to be the guy that is in place to make sure that Donald Trump never gets kicked out of office, that he doesn't leave. And that's what his job is. And I know the truth is, you remember back when Donald Trump appointed McConnell's wife to be transportation secretary, the first thing I said is, what deal did they make? And I think the deal was that your wife can be the transportation secretary, but you have to basically prevent me from ever getting into any kind of potential you're getting thrown out of office moment in the Senate. I don't know if McConnell can stop it, because the articles of impeachment come from the House. They basically write up, here are the charges, here's what he does, and it goes to the Senate for a trial. And I don't think McConnell has a lot of wiggle room about refuting evidence or denying, you know, speakers. I think they actually have to have a trial in the U.S. Congress where they have to talk this out. At the same time, do I think enough Republicans would defect? Depends on the crime. If Mueller's out there, if public opinion of Trump is down at 20-25%, if Mueller's investigation comes out with ironclad, stone-cold evidence against Trump, you know, emails and all this stuff, that where for you to vote this down would be political suicide, yeah, I think the Republicans will stop it. I think they will. And Trump will act as if he's the great king, and he won't run again. The Republicans will tell him, we are going to kill the party for you. You cannot be the candidate on the ticket. But that's where I think things are going to go. I don't know if we're going to get the satisfaction of Donald Trump in chains coming out of the White House. I don't know if you're going to get that. What I think you're going to get is a lot of damning evidence, but a very unsatisfactory result in the end. Very much like when we found out exactly what happened around the Iraq War and 9/11, and the fact that no one, you know, that no one in the W. Bush White House was held accountable for it. No one was. I mean, we can all look back and say, you guys were horrible human beings that basically, you know, sent a bunch of U.S. military people to die in an unnecessary war. But Dick Cheney should be in jail. Scooter Libby should be in jail. In my personal opinion, Condoleezza Rice. I don't know if she necessarily should be in jail, but I guarantee you she probably should have been, you know, got a lot more persecution than she did, because, yeah, they were all crooked back then. I just think that Mitch McConnell, and just think about the Rand Paul, and think about what, I don't know what the Russians have got on Lindsey Graham. Well, I can take a guess on what they've got on Lindsey Graham, and Cotton, and the rest of these Republican stooges. They will die before they allow another Republican to be thrown out of office in disgrace. And I think that that's what their end game is. Is that Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party will say, we will take the chance that we will kill the party as long as we can prevent the Republican brand from having to have two guys thrown out of office. So, as you think about that, as we have Nancy Pelosi there and we have a lot of good Democrats that are going to be looking into what's going on with Trump, keep that in mind. And I'm not saying that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats don't go forward with it. By God, go forward with it. Let these people kill their own party. Let them do it. Oh, oh, it will be enjoyable. Grab your popcorn, kids. But I don't know if we're ever going to get the result that we all hope for. Just make sure this. Make sure no Republican ever downplays how truly atrocious Donald Trump has been as the president of the United States. He is by far the worst president we've ever had. That includes the guy that died 6 weeks into office. That includes Buchanan. That includes Coolidge, who was as crooked as the day is long. Yeah, he was pretty bad. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come on back. We got to talk a little bit about, will Minnesota get its dope on? We'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and they offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they're paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuske, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, rewriting the odds for their clients for over 80 years.
We are awake.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
High hopes indeed. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Now, I will say, let me preface this next one. I haven't smoked dope in years. Seriously, is the camera on in here? Am I on record? By the way, you can watch the show if you like. It's Radio for Your Eyes. Go to AM 950 Radio, and you can watch the live stream of the show. Yeah, if you like. I do radio for a reason. Anyway, I haven't smoked dope in decades. I haven't. I did occasionally. Yeah. I'm a human being in America, for God's sakes. All right. That being said, when we started having states legalize marijuana, what was the thing? It's like you had the one side say, hey, you know what? We'll decriminalize it. We won't have a lot of people in jail unnecessarily. And we can make some money off of it. The other side said, oh, well, we're going to make this legal. We're going to have dope heads everywhere. Dopity, dopity, dope, dope, dope. And it was going to go bad. Well, so far, the dope heads are the ones who have been proven to be right. The guys there, I mean, it creates an insane amount of tax revenue. An absolutely insane amount of tax revenue, which the states who have legalized it have put to good use. on the other side of it as well, the negatives have not come forward. And as a matter of fact, alcohol still is, you know, the main, you know, when you talk about impaired driving and impaired operation, alcohol and other drugs are far more likely. They have not seen upticks in Colorado and other states that have legalized. Oregon is legalized. They haven't seen upticks in you know, driving under the influence of marijuana accidents. They haven't.
The one criticism I always hear, and this is really the only one, is, oh, sometimes I smell it.
Okay. Whoever smelt it, well, they probably dealt it. I'm just going to let you know. That's an old ancient Hungarian proverb, I believe. Okay, so you smell it. I mean, does a cigarette guy smell better?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay.
Not saying it's a good argument.
if that's your main point, okay. 10 states have legalized recreational marijuana for adults. Forbes thinks Minnesota will be the next one to do so. The Business Magazine is predicting that Minnesota's governor-elect Tim Walz is going to be the ace in the hole. Walz has pledged to replace the current failed policy with one that creates tax revenue, grows jobs, builds opportunities for Minnesotans, protects Minnesota kids, and trusts adults to make personal decisions based on their personal freedoms. Who is that Republican? Oh, that's right. It's the Democrats. Personal responsibility. Oh, that's right. I guess that's the Democratic Party now. That's right. Republicans, that's not them anymore. Actually, I mean, that's a very good quote for him. He's going to He's going to replace the current failed policy with one that creates tax revenue, grows jobs, builds opportunities for Minnesotans, protects Minnesota kids, trusts adults to make personal decisions based on their personal freedoms. Kind of like we do with alcohol. And that's how I kind of look at it, because I can tell you right now, marijuana is not nearly as dangerous as alcohol, if you ask me. Because, you know, drinking and driving is a serious, real, horrible problem. And people are dying on the roads almost every day in Minnesota because someone's getting too drunk and getting behind the wheel of a car. That doesn't happen. Have we ever had an accident, to our knowledge, in the state of Minnesota where it was, you know, under the influence of marijuana accident caused the accident?
I'm sure if there was, it'd be huge news.
Oh, I guarantee you the anti-marijuana people would be after that. Walz also happened to be the author of a first standalone cannabis bill to pass a congressional committee in the U.S. House. Our peers on this most likely list include Connecticut, Illinois, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island. You could argue that the conditions are certainly looking for more cannabis-y than ever, but there are several reasons why it would be unfair to paint legal weed in Minnesota as a sure thing. Take the new Democratic House majority that's supposed to give Walz the boost he needs. It's still rife with legislators who are, to put it mildly, reserved about the matter. Brooklyn Park Democrat Melissa Hortman, the incoming speaker, told the Pioneer Press it was too early to say what path the issue would take. Now, I'm not sure what Gazelka feels about this, but the reality is we've had these little petri dishes, these little incubator, these political incubators across the country that have proven that this is not nearly the problem that it could be. And I remember when some of the Democrats, when we legalized it for medical reasons, and the argument of these Democrats were like, it's going to be, we got to put in all these restrictions. No, we don't. We don't. I'm not saying you treat it lightly, but I mean, if we sell liquor, for God's sakes, come on, get off your high horse, you Puritans, and let's just do this. And then we can create some tax revenue, and then we can fund some schools, get some broadband built, get health care for people. And so some people get high. Who cares? The snack food industry will get a big boost. Go team, go. Ooh, and donuts. Oh God, donuts are great. I mean, nothing. What? Nothing.
Are you sure you haven't done this?
What? Yeah, nothing. Are you a narc? You have to tell me if you're a narc. All right. Good to be back, people. Hunter's up next. We are back tomorrow. Until then, see ya!